This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
All right, let's go to the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline now. Our friend Chris Mortensen of ESPN joins us. Good morning, Mort. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks a lot. Look, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs fan base, the Chiefs Kingdom, is one of the most rabid in all of football. It is almost impossible to believe they've had to wait this long to get back to a Super Bowl.
And they have had some tough playoff losses at Arrowhead Stadium, which is supposedly one of the toughest places to play. In fact, Tom Jackson, the former Bronco, who had to play many games at Arrowhead Stadium, said it ranked way up there, maybe number one, as the toughest opposing field to play. Yet Andy Reid has suffered some really heartbreaking losses there, including last year against the Patriots, and then a couple of years ago against the Titans. But they got a guy, this guy named Patrick Mahomes. I got a feeling he's gonna be back a few more times.
You mentioned Andy Reid. Is he the coach that is viewed as probably the best without a Super Bowl ring?
Oh, in present day coaching, yes. Yes, I would say that's absolutely true. I think the criticism on Andy is, he's not convicted about the running game. Now, you can look at their rushes yesterday, and it was like 27 for over 100. But Patrick Mahomes picked up more than half those yards. But when you have a guy like Mahomes, that's nitpicking pretty much. It's like when Don Shula had, Zonka and Kick and all those guys, and all of a sudden here comes Dan Marino. What are you going to do? You're going to throw the ball when you got Dan Marino.
Does that impress you about Kyle Shanahan, though, that you've got Kittle at tight end, you've got their playmakers, but he has chosen in these two playoff games, the Vikings and the Packers couldn't stop them running, and he takes it out of Garoppolo's hand and says, we're just going to run the football. For a young coach, that's got to impress you, Mort, that he can do it different ways.
I don't consider him a young coach. He's 40 years old, and here's why. He's been a coordinator for 10 or 11 years, or a coordinator or a head coach. He got his first offensive coordinator job in Houston under Gary Kubiak, I think when he was 29 years old. So when I look at Kyle, I don't see a young coach. I see a very experienced coach. And like most coaches, they will do whatever they believe it takes to win on that game. And I would also say, when you see what has transpired the last couple of weeks, and they've won, but what does it tell you about his confidence level in Jimmy Garoppolo? You can look at the numbers and say, wow, it's almost 70%. But, there's still some level of, I've still got to nurse this guy along. And if they can't stop the run, then obviously you don't need to throw.
And they'll face, Chris Mortensen is with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, and they'll face Kansas City's defense, who kind of faced a same situation with Tennessee, Mort, a team that, Ryan Tannehill had been really good at the end of the regular season, but they had played around him a little bit in those first two playoff games. I was surprised that they were able to slow down Derrick Henry. Nobody else had been able to do that of late.
Yeah, I agree. Tannehill made some big throws to put the Titans in front in those playoff games. So, and then that allowed Derrick Henry to take over the game, too. Yesterday I was very I've been impressed by the Chiefs' defense. Chris Jones is one of the very best defensive linemen, is limited somewhat with an injury. But Steve Spagnuolo, he was a defensive coordinator when the Giants beat the Patriots, held them to 14 points. I'm pretty sure Stevie was there back in that perfect season that the Patriots had ruined by the Giants. He's done a good job getting this team to a different point. They look discombobulated early, but the new scheme, they've learned the scheme. They're more physical on defense. Adding Tyrann Mathieu turned out to be a pretty doggone good free agent pickup. And the trade for Frank Clark from Seattle, which was they traded a first round, a third round, and another third round pick in the future to get Frank Clark. And they let D Ford go. And that obviously proved to be a big pickup for the Chiefs. They're just more physical on the defensive side. They're not perfect. They're not perfect, but they are. This is one Super Bowl that I can honestly say it's a tough one to pick if you're at this stage. You can go either way and justify your pick.
Hey, we brought up Derrick Henry. I wanted to ask you about the Titans because two contracts coming up in 2020. both Ryan Tannehill, who played so well down the stretch, and Derrick Henry coming off the rookie contract. Who's the bigger priority for John Robinson in 2020? Is it Tannehill or is it Derrick Henry?
Oh, I think it's a great question because, you know, Tannehill, they were 2-4 when Tannehill took over. And, you know, and it was not just hand the ball to Derrick Henry when Tannehill came in there. He made plays. He made plays with his arm. He made plays with his legs. You saw the emergence of A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss there as a receiver. And so Tannehill did make a big difference. And let's face it, quarterbacks, you know, if you believe in him, and he has a toughness that Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Titans, likes, if you believe in him, then he's probably the priority over Derrick Henry. Except for this, your identity is Derrick Henry. And then you have the whole issue of what do you pay a running back who you think has a lot of miles on him, mileage on him? What do you pay that? What's the price for that? And I think that's for John Robinson, that's going to be an interesting dilemma to solve. I would find a way to keep both, and I think that's what they'll probably do, even if they have to. Well, I mean, you know, it's good. Henry's an interesting case. You know, he wasn't a first-round pick, so there's no fifth-year option where they can kind of hold him in place. He's a free agent if he doesn't sign a long-term contract. And, you know, he's in his situation, you've got to go secure yourself financially and test the market, I think.
Chris Mortensen is with us here on the Jocks Roundtable. There's so much going on already in this NFL offseason, especially with some big-name quarterbacks. One of those is Philip Rivers, and I'm watching Get Up on one of our TV screens here, Mort, and they say that Philip has officially moved permanently from San Diego to the state of Florida. Do you have a destination in mind? Who are some of the contenders for Philip Rivers at quarterback next year?
Well, since I know you must have been in church when we actually broke that story on Sunday NFL Countdown.
I was in church, Mort.
NFL Countdown. Well, and I'd rather have you in church than watching our show on Sunday. If you are the show, go to church. That's what I would say. So, Philip, he texted us and basically it was like, yeah, he's moved out of his San Diego home. You know, his family's mostly there in the South, as you know, they're in Alabama. And we've always kind of like said, boy, Philip with the Tennessee Titans made a lot of sense. We don't know now with the Tannehill X factor, and we don't know how the Titans have evaluated Philip Rivers. Philip has said he still wants to play on. So there are going to be teams that are going to be really, I think if you think you're got a chance to go to the championship game, that you're going to take a look at Philip. I mean, just because he's had a home in Florida. Let's get that straight. He didn't just buy a home, but he's had the home in Florida. So they're living in it, him and his eight kids and wife Tiffany. I think they homeschool six or seven of those kids. Some people could say Tampa Bay if they don't like what they're seeing with Jameis Winston. You know, they won what, seven or eight games this year. You know, could the Philip Rivers make them big? Because one thing that Bruce Arians wants, he wants the quarterback who will stand in there and make the big throw. The problem if he evaluated Philip last year is, you know, other than Jameis Winston, nobody was maybe two more interceptions. But I still think that Tampa could be an interesting place for Philip Rivers. And the other one, you know, you have to keep an eye on the Indianapolis Colts. You really do, because Jacoby Brissett's there, but you know they think they have a championship caliber roster, and they got to do something about the quarterback position, secure it a little bit more.
Quickly, one more quarterback, Cam Newton. What is the future for him?
I don't know. That's not the answer I'm supposed to give you. All indications are that they'll keep him there this year, but we have a new coach in place in Matt Rhule. But the general manager who drafted him, Marty Herney, who Matt Rhule really likes, and does the owner Dave Tepper, Marty Herney's the guy who drafted Cam Newton. He's got a year left on his contract. We know he's had the injuries. You could always draft one and let Cam play this out and see how it goes. But that's going to be one of the great offseason questions for us.
All those questions and much more at Mort Report when you follow Chris Mortensen on Twitter and see him all over the place on ESPN. Mort, thank you very much for the time. Always great talking with you.
Same to you guys. I'm just glad you were in church yesterday, too.
That's right,
well,
Dunaway.
I was going to ask you, how's your pitching arm these days? Because we were discussing some Deuteronomy punishments from the Old Testament there, and you could take me out to the city limits and stone me.
Well, we could try that, too.
Come on, Mort.
Thank you, Mort. Take care.
Bye, guys.
All right, that is Chris Mortensen with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. At your favorite retailer now in three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry, only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free. You'll want Jameis Winston stoning you. Chance somebody runs by and grabs the rock.
It wouldn't just be hitting the disobedient child.
Taking the rock the other way.
Taking the rock back for 6.
The obedient child will pick it off and take it back into the city limits.